But so excited to be here today. So thankful for this opportunity to continue this awesome series, The Name, where we're having the chance, opportunity to dive deeper into the names of Jesus. Because I'm sure if you've been in church for pretty much any length of time, you know that Jesus is not known just by us. It's not Jesus, but there are many names by which Jesus is referred to and identified. And so last week, Tyler dove into King of the chance and the opportunity to go deeper into the name that Jesus is identified in John chapter 6, which he himself being the life. And so I'm thankful and excited for this, to be able to dive in more into what that means and what that looks like and understanding the impact and the power and the revelation that comes just from that name. So I'm excited to open the Word up today with you. So if you have your Bible with you or you're following on a tablet, a phone, you can turn to John chapter 6. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. And also our production team will have the verses and everything online or on the screens for you. And for those who are online, you'll see it at the bottom as well. But that's where we're going to be spending our time today, is in John chapter 6. We'll be primarily walking through verses 25 through 51. And so as we dive into this morning, I just want you to ask to help you to understand more of who Jesus is. For you to know Jesus better when we wrap up today than you knew him when you walked in. And I ask that for myself, because as I have been able to prepare and kind of work on this message, I feel like I know more of who Jesus is through identifying who he is as the bread of life. And so in John chapter 6 is where we're going to be spending. It's in the book of John as a whole that there are seven. You hear this often, and we've even talked about this here at the Vine, and you've probably heard it. Maybe you read it. Maybe you studied into that some yourself. But there are seven I am statements that are made throughout the book of John. And this is actually the first one that Jesus makes in John chapter 6 when he calls himself the bread of life. And it refers about four times in John chapter 6, starting at verse 35 and 41 and 48 and 51. And what it does is it all connects back to who God is and who God revealed himself to be in Exodus to Moses. Because if you go, I'm just going to read this for you, just a few verses here. And this is the interaction with Moses and God at test 1, 2, 3. There we go. Maybe that'll be a little more stable. But as we're looking at what happens here in Exodus, for those who are not familiar, Exodus being an Old Testament book, right? And so what's happening here, Moses encounters God, and God is calling Moses to go to his people and to lead them out of Egypt. And Moses asked God in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 3, and God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And in verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. You see, this is why these I am statements that are covered in the book of John are so important. And this is why there is so much revelation and truth and power in what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 6, that he is. And so what I want us to do, we're going to pick up in verse 25 as we start to dive into what's happening here. And verse 25 says this of John chapter 6. When they found him talking about Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now, let's take a moment and understand what's happening right here in this moment. There's a crowd of people who have found Jesus. It says, when they found him. And what they're referring to is, at the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus performs one of the greatest miracles and gives one of the greatest signs that exist. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And in this moment, they have traveled, Jesus and his disciples have gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and this crowd that was there followed him. They went looking for him. But the thing is, which we're going to see here in just a moment, but I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here, is that the people aren't looking for Jesus because he just performed this great miracle and did this great sign, and they believe that he is the Messiah now. But rather, they're looking for Jesus simply because they ate. And their hunger was satisfied for a moment. And now they're looking for Jesus to do that again. To simply just give them what they need. They're not looking for Jesus for the truth of who he is, but they're looking for Jesus to satisfy their momentary desire. You see, if you remember a couple weeks ago, if you watched online or you joined us, we were in Matthew walking through questions. And Jesus was teaching in the famous Sermon on the Mount not to worry about the things that you need, like food and drink and clothes, but rather to seek God first, and he would take care of those things that you need. You see, there's a priority here, and Jesus should always be at the top. But these people, they're not searching for Jesus because he is their priority. It's what they can get from him, and that's just to satisfy their hunger. You see, they missed the greater revelation of what happened at the beginning of John chapter 6 when Jesus fed the thousands, nearly 10,000, if you include the women and children that were there that day as well, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They missed the revelation of the miracle that Jesus is the source of everything that we could ever need, mainly the source of eternal life. You see, they were stuck with this worldly thinking, this earthly mindset, this self-centered focus of, hey, this is what I need, rather than the kingdom heavenly thinking that we're called to as Christians. You see, they were blinded by their own desires. So let's continue here in John chapter 6, verse 26. And it says, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." You see, Jesus knew exactly why they were searching for him. And it wasn't because they thought he was the Messiah, but rather because they ate, they were satisfied, and now they're hungry again. And they want more. And then in verse 27, it goes on and it says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." Can I get an amen? "Which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." You see, Jesus is engaging the people right here. He's answering questions throughout this passage. And it's so that they can see who he truly is, but also for us now to be able to look back, to reflect, and to see who Jesus really and truly is. That he's more than just a magician who can multiply 5 loaves into enough to feed thousands, but rather that he is the source of eternal life, the bread of life. And then they ask him in verse 28, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" You see, they're missing the point the entire time. Even after Jesus identifies and addresses their real need for coming, they ask him, "Okay, well, so what must we do to do the works that God requires?" You see, they're missing the point. Jesus is revealing to him that he is the bread of life, the bread of God. And he's trying to teach them and to teach us not to chase the things of this world. You see, we daily, in order to sustain our physical life, we need nourishment. So we would go after bread because we want to survive. But instead of bread and food being that priority, Jesus should be our priority. And the rest will come because he will supply it for us. You see, there's a difference between the bread that this world offers that will help to sustain our physical life and the bread that Jesus is and that he offers to us that will sustain our eternal life. It's a priority, it's a mindset, it's a mentality, and we must be seeking him above everything else. And the rest falls into place. And then in verse 29, Jesus answers their question. And it says, he answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." To believe in the one he has sent. You see, what's important, there's a lot. We could actually probably spend the rest of the time on that one single verse if you unpack everything that's there. But what I want us to take away from this is that God sent Jesus, right? Jesus was sent here from heaven. And that's going to be important as we continue to dig into this, but I just want you to keep a note that Jesus was sent from God and that Jesus came from heaven to earth. Because if you continue reading in verse 30, the people respond, and so then they ask another question. And it says, they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." You see, so now they've asked Jesus another question. Okay, so what sign are you going to give to us? What miracle are you going to do so that we can believe that you really are this Messiah you say you are? You see, this same group of people just witnessed Jesus perform a sign and a miracle. But either it wasn't good enough or they've done forgotten it. And so now they're asking him again, hey, what sign are you going to give to us? And what's so awesome about this and how God just threads everything together from Genesis all the way to Revelation, from the beginning of time to the end of time, is that God tells Moses back in Exodus that he will give him a sign. And now we have people who are asking Jesus for a sign. Moses was looking for a sign. The people of Israel were looking for a sign. And now people are asking Jesus for a sign that he is who he says he is. You see, and what's also interesting is that before the people ever come to Jesus and ask him about believing and ask him for a sign and mention the manna, because keep in mind, we're in verse 30 and 31 when they bring up manna, but Jesus was already talking to them about bread in the previous verses. When they ask the question of, hey, when'd you get here? Jesus ignores it and he says, I know why you're here. You're searching for bread. And then they bring up the manna because Jesus understands where their hearts were. And he knows where our hearts are when we go to him as well. And so he begins to reveal to them, and thankfully to us now, about the true bread. And if you don't know manna and what that is and what that refers to, is God provided manna to the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God provided food for them to eat. It was called manna. And it was a food that was like bread, but it was a supernatural food, meaning it wasn't something that just grew from the ground, but rather God provided it. And manna just means, what is it? Because the people didn't know. They didn't know what it was. And that's what the word manna literally means. And so it was a supernatural food that God provided for the people of Israel. And now also there's something that's interesting to take into consideration about this crowd that comes to Jesus. The Jewish culture and the Jewish people believed that the Messiah, when the Messiah revealed himself, he would renew and restore the flow of manna and the provision of manna. So they were expecting, okay, Jesus, if you really are who you say you are, then let the manna flow continuously. And so they're looking for this, and they're probably thinking about that as they're talking to him now, and as those who may have been part of the crowd that actually experienced the blessing and the sign and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But taking that into consideration, I want you to imagine these three things that the crowd may have logically been trying to work through. And the first is this, that the people probably reasoned that Jesus only fed 5,000, 10,000 people. But yet with Moses and the nation of Israel, the manna fed an entire nation of people, where Jesus only fed 5,000 to 10,000. And then the second thing they may have been reasoning to themselves is that Jesus did it one time, actually twice, if you, the 4,000 and the 5,000, but Jesus did it this one time while the manna was supplied for 40 years. And so they're thinking, again, in their mind, that the miracle of the manna is greater than what Jesus has done. And then the third thing that they're probably reasoning and thinking is that Jesus fed 5,000 to 10,000 people with bread. Anybody can make enough bread to feed 5 and 10,000 people. What's so special about that? That the manna that fed the nation of Israel was from heaven. You see, and so they're thinking like, Jesus, yes, you did this great thing, but, you know, it's just not enough. When are you going to do more? And they're sitting there thinking these things as they're talking to Jesus, as they even went through and experienced this miracle. That the bread for 5,000 was cool, but the manna is greater. It's better. It exceeds what this is. We want to see something to that magnitude. You see, that's what worldly thinking does, is it blinds us and hides the truth, and the revelation of who Jesus is. Because really and truly, let's stop and think about it and break it down. The three things they were considering is that the manna fed a nation. Well, guess what? Jesus feeds the world. All who come to him will have life. The manna fed Israel for 40 years. The bread of life is for eternity, not for 40 years. And the manna was of heaven. You see, it's called the bread from heaven, but that does not literally mean that the manna was in heaven with God and then came down, but rather that it rained from the heavens. Because to the people, they didn't know where it came from, but yet God sent it to them. So you see, the manna is produced supernaturally of heaven, of God's power, but yet Jesus is literally from heaven. He is above where the manna even came from in the first place. You see, so Jesus is always greater in all of these. The manna was only ever meant to be a type and a shadow of who Jesus is and what he would do and how he would feed an entire world, anyone who came to him. You see, Jesus is always greater. He is more than what the manna could ever have hoped to be. So let's continue in verse 32. And Jesus said to them in response, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Don't miss that. The bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The manna did not give life to the world. It sustained the nation of Israel from day to day for 40 years. But Jesus is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He does more than sustain us for a moment, but rather sustains us for an eternity. And so a lot of the people would always say how great Moses was because Moses led the people and he gave the people and they had manna during this time. But Jesus points out here and makes sure that everyone listening and those of us today also understand that Moses did not give the manna. The manna came from God, just like Jesus came from God. Remember, we were talking about that a minute ago. And that's why it's important. But also another thing to understand is the way that Jesus says it. He says, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread." Present tense. You see, what happened for the Israelites in the wilderness was in the past, many, many, many years before. But Jesus is talking about right now, in that moment, that God gives them the bread from heaven. There was no manna around. So who is he talking about? He's talking about himself, the bread of life, which is greater than this manna that God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness. You see, God did supply for those people, but he's also supplying for the entire world right now. What we need is the bread of life. You see, in Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down from heaven, bread from heaven for you.'" You see, God provides always. And just like we were talking about a few weeks ago, and Jesus is reminding us in the Sermon on the Mount, is that God will provide for the needs of his people. For those who seek him and know him and have a relationship with him, what you need, God will take care of. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to search and work for the things of this world. God will make sure you have it. You see, and this was one of the greatest signs, the provision of manna for the people of Israel in the wilderness, because it was one of the signs that proved that Israel's God was the true God, the Lord of creation, that he could create anything and provide for his people. So let's go on in verse 34. And here's the response from the people who were there before Jesus. "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." You see, right here, it just goes to show that they're totally missing it. They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't see it because they are blind. And they are blind because they're only thinking worldly thoughts rather than kingdom and heavenly mindsets. You see, they have the wrong perspective, and they're missing the fact that the bread of heaven is literally standing right before them, that they are talking to the bread of heaven. And so they're asking, "Okay, can you give this to us?" And Jesus, I can only imagine he's thinking, "I am right here. I have come so that you could have, but you don't see." You know, and the other thing that's really cool as you read throughout all of Scripture, you can see the consistency in how God has woven the story together from the beginning of time. Because the crazy thing is that Jesus was born in a very small town called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is actually known as the house of bread. Why would that just happen? You think that's a coincidence that the bread of life was born in a town that is known as the house of bread? You see, God knew what he was doing from the beginning of time, and that is revealing more of the truth of who Jesus truly is, that he is the bread of life. That the bread that we have here on this earth that's naturally provided, yeah, it's great because it gives us what we need from day to day. But Jesus is even greater than that. You see, the bread of life is not temporary satisfaction, but it's for eternity. It never fades, it never spoils, and it will never fail. So let's go on in verse 35 and see what Jesus has to say to their answer. And it says that he declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those who the Father gives to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven." Remember, Jesus came from heaven, "not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." He was sent by God. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So Jesus, rather than kind of like leading them to the answer and kind of dancing around the truth, Jesus just comes out and he directly tells them, look, I am the bread of life. I am greater than what you're looking for, because you're just looking for what will satisfy you right now, but in 6 hours you're going to be hungry again and need more. I can give you something that you will never be in need of again, because I will always be with you. I will sustain you throughout the rest of your physical life and throughout all eternity. They were not getting it, so he just comes flat out and says it. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe that's where you find yourself, is asking, okay, Jesus, what can you do for me? And you're searching like this crowd and this group of people were. And you're looking for what Jesus can do for you right now to satisfy this uncomfortable circumstance you find yourself in, or this hardship that you're walking through. But you're not seeking Jesus for who he is, which is the bread of life, the source that can sustain you for all eternity, who is greater than just this momentary struggle or difficult season you find yourself in. You see, just like the manna in the wilderness, it did supply. God gave it to them, so it was good, but it only supplied what they needed for a day, and then for 2 days on Saturday. You see, but now God is making a way, and he is providing. You see, that's the other thing the people are missing, is they're looking for this manna to be restored and to constantly and continuously come down by the Messiah. And guess what? It is. It's standing right there, something that is greater than the manna that the Israelites found in the wilderness. It's the bread of life, the word of God that became flesh, and he's standing before them. And God has provided this not just for a nation, but for all who will come to follow Jesus. And let's go on in verse 41. And it says, at this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You see, they have a problem with that, because that's not what they thought was going to happen. And that's not who they thought Jesus was. They were blinded. They couldn't see it. And then in verse 42, it says, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? You see, they missed it. They don't get it. Jesus is telling them. Jesus has revealed to them. Even Scripture, the Old Testament, has pointed to this moment and to this time of who Jesus truly is. And though Jesus is standing right there in front of them, they're blinded to the truth, because they're only thinking of what they need in that moment. Worldly mentality. You see, and it all just points back to where our priorities are, what we're thinking, and what we're actually and truly seeking. Because just like Jesus knew their heart, it's about where our heart actually is, what our heart rests in. Is it in the things of this world that will get us from day to day? Or is it in something greater, the bread of life, our Creator? Is it in Christ? You see, if you go on in verse 43, Jesus addresses their grumbling here. And he says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. You see, again, it goes to, what are you actually searching for? What are you seeking? Is it something that will satisfy you today, but you're going to need more tomorrow? Or is it something greater that will give you life for eternity? Something that can do more than every ounce of resource this world has to offer. In verse 48, Jesus states again, I am the bread of life. See, it's important that we don't just skip over that and say, okay, he's just repeating himself. No, he repeats it because it's true, and it's what we need to know. And my prayer is today, like, I can't convince you. I can't make this sound appealing enough to convince you to have faith in Jesus and to believe he is who he says he is. But rather, it's God, it's the Holy Spirit, and the power that he gives to the Holy Spirit to move in your life, to open your eyes so that you're not blind like this crowd, to open your ears so that you can hear the truth that Jesus speaks here in this passage, that he is who he says he is, that he came from heaven down to earth, humbled himself to live the life we could not, and to die the death that you and I both deserve for the sin that we've committed. But then on the third day, to rise in victory over both sin and death. And guess what? Not to keep that victory to himself, but to share it with you and with me. For those who know and believe that Jesus is the true bread of life. That it's not some story, it's not some fantasy, but that it is true. And I pray that God is moving in your heart right now if you were struggling with that. If you've never committed and surrendered to that truth, I want you to believe today. And then he goes on in verse 49. And Jesus says, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. You see, again, another highlight that the manna was good. It was good for a day, but guess what? It would rot the next day if it was not all eaten. And guess what? Jesus points out, those who ate it, not still alive, or rather they died. Because the manna was good, but it wasn't the bread of life that Jesus himself is. And he goes on in verse 50 and he says, but here is the bread. But here, I love that. But here, I am right here. I'm standing in front of you. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. You may eat and not die. Now we have this physical life that we live. And so some would say, well, you're going to die one day. We all will. Unless Jesus comes back and calls us home before that moment in time. But it's not about our physical life. It's about our eternal life. Because each and every one of us, once we leave this earth, we still go on existing for eternity. But is it in eternal death? Or is it in eternal life? That's what Jesus gives. And in verse 51, I love this. He just comes out again and he says it and he repeats, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, Jesus is greater than anything that we could ever imagine. He's greater than the manna that God provided in the wilderness to his people. He's greater than the natural bread that we can bake and that we can make here with our own effort and power. Jesus is greater than all those things. He gives more than what all of the supply in the world could ever hope to give. You see, and Jesus identifies that the bread is his flesh, which he will give for the life of the world. Again, this isn't just for the nation of Israel, but this is for the entire world. Every one of you sitting here today, everyone who is watching or listening online, Jesus has given his life for each and every one of us. Again, another really awesome thing how God just weaves this all together is that the Levitical sacrifices were called the bread of God. Jesus is the greatest sacrifice of all. The bread that came down from heaven, that was broken for us, that was given that we may have life. You see, and we all the time can get caught up in what we're going through right now and what we need in this moment that we forget what Jesus can give us for eternity. And like the people of Israel, we forget that the manna was temporary and it spoiled, while Jesus is everlasting and sustaining. Though the manna was bread from heaven, it was supernaturally provided. Jesus is the bread of heaven that literally came down to earth that we may have life. He is the daily bread that we need. He is the bread that will give us everything from this day forward. From the moment that our faith is in Him and that we believe He is who He says He is, He will never let us down. That truth, that bread, will never fade and will never spoil. So I want to ask you today, are you seeking the bread that this world offers? That's going to leave you hungry and desiring more later, even within the same day? Or are you seeking the bread of life that will give you what you need for all eternity, that will sustain you day after day after day, that will never leave you hungry, searching for more, but that will hold you secure and strong, that will give you all that you could ever imagine? The bread of life that is Christ Himself. What are you looking for? Do you have that? Did you have that and you've walked away from it? You've forgotten about it? You've been distracted by other things? I pray today that as we have been walking through this, that God has been revealing the truth to you. That Jesus is the bread of life. That Jesus is the source of life for eternity. That He is the bread that was broken for you, for what you could not accomplish, and that is living a perfect, sinless life. That He paid the price on the cross for you so that you could have life by believing in He and His resurrection. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this moment that You have allowed us to come together, to be in Your presence. Dear Lord, I pray for all those who are here today, who are watching or listening online. Dear Lord, I pray that You are moving in their hearts now, that You are stirring and drawing them to the truth that Jesus is who He says He is. He is the bread of life. He is the source of our eternal life and all that we need. If that's you, if you're listening now, wherever you are, whenever this may be, I want you to know that God is allowing you to hear this truth for a reason. And I pray now that the scales that may have been over your eyes, that have been blinding you to see who Jesus is, maybe the plugs that have been closing your ears to prevent you from hearing the truth of who Jesus is, and the hardness of your heart that is preventing you from receiving the grace, the mercy, and the love, and the power of who Jesus is, I pray that now all of that will fall away and you will surrender your life to Christ, that you will come to know Him as your Lord and Savior, as the true bread of life. If that's you, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. And I want you to understand it's not the words of this prayer. They're not magical. They're not more special just because we put them in this order. But it's actually the belief in your heart. It's what God has allowed you to see, to hear, and to receive today, which is the truth that Jesus is who He says He is. He lived a perfect life. He died the death on the cross that you deserved, and He rose in victory. May you find hope, peace in that. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And for those who are here with us as well, I want you to pray this for the benefit of those who may be coming to Christ for the first time, because we all need Jesus each and every day. That doesn't stop. So if you would, just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to You, Lord. I believe You lived the perfect life. I believe You died for my sins. I believe You rose in victory. Help me to follow You the rest of my life, the best way I know. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, if you're in the house or you're watching online and you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you know you meant it more now than you ever have in your entire life, that you see Jesus as who He really is, surrender to follow him, to make him Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you and you're watching online, there'll be a hand that may be raised. You can click a button on there to respond to us, to send us a message, send us an email at prayer@thevine.tv. Reach out to us. Let us know that you're responding to Jesus, that you're surrendering to him as the bread of life. And if you're in this house, when I count to three, I want everyone, if that is you, if you prayed that prayer and you have put your faith in Jesus for the very first time, if you're in the house or watching online, I want you to respond when I count to three just by raising your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, just respond and move. And may the Lord bless you and draw you closer to him each and every day. May you see more of the beauty of who he truly is. May you know him deeper than you ever have before. May he open each and every one of our eyes, open our ears and our hearts to be immersed in his beauty, his glory, his majesty. And for each and every one of us as we continue to worship this morning, I just pray that you will ask the Lord to do those things in revealing his truth, his goodness, and his promise to you. So as you want to, if you're in the house, you want to stand, or if you're joining us online and you want to stand wherever you are and worship with us today, I invite you to do so. And I just pray that God, you will bless this time and this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm here and I'm alive. I'm thankful you are too. I'm so thankful. Alex just shared an amazing, amazing message, and we just sang an amazing song about a holy night. A holy night. Well, we are looking in eager anticipation. Advent is literally about the anticipation of the Savior to come. And when we think about bread, when does bread come out at a meal? At the beginning, right? And at the end, right? So bread comes out in preparation for the meal that is to come, in anticipation of the sweetness, the satisfaction, the eternal joy that can last afterwards. So what Alex shared today is Jesus was the preparation to come, in anticipation for each and every one of us to come to him and know that he is the only one that can seek and save. So right now, the reason we're in PJs is it's just like Christmas Eve, in anticipation for something incredible to come. And guess what? The world is in anticipation in this season for something to satisfy eternally, not something that's just bread at the beginning of the meal. It's better than endless breadsticks at Olive Garden. You're thinking about that, making your reservation. Jesus is better than that. That's what Alex just shared with us. And so as we go on throughout the rest of this week, we have some amazing opportunities to get people here to church, but more importantly, be the church. So wherever you are right now, join us next week. Join us as we continue in this series. Join us on Christmas Eve Eve. Who's going to say no to candlelight carols and probably a ton of sweets? No one. So let's plan right now to have everyone here, because I promise you this. If you've never tasted the sweetness that is Jesus, you're constantly and eagerly searching, anticipating, will I ever find what satisfies? And church, we get to share it. So as we go about this week, remember what Alex shared in the message. Remember how Jesus is our preparation, and he's so much better than this Christmas tree cake. We love you guys. We can't wait to see you next week. And always remember, the best is still you.